This is De Bello Gallico, Book 6, Chapter 15. Alterum gens est equitum. So another class, or the other class, is of equestrians, or to the knights, the cavalrymen. Qui, these men, cum est usus, when there is need, atque aliquod bellum incidit, and some war occurs. Quod feri, which generally, ante Caesaris adventum, before Caesar's arrival, quote annis accidere solebat, was accustomed to occur annually. Uti, with the result, aut ipsi inurius inferent, they themselves were inflicting outrages, aut illatas propulsurant, or they were driving away outrages inflicted. Omnes in bello versantur. All are practiced in war. Atque eorum, and of these men, ut quisque est, as each one is, plissimus, most distinguished, most abundant, genere copiisque, in respect to birth and resources, ita, thus, habet, he has, caricumse, around himself, plurimos ambactos clientisque, very many dependents and clients, or very many vassals and dependents. Nuerunt, they understand, hac gratiam potentiam quae unum. So unum is like the single, so they understand this single influence and power. But what it's really saying is they only acknowledge this sort of influence and power. It's the only kind of power and influence that they understand, the one of how many men you have control over. So one more time, translation. So the other classes of equestrians, these men, whenever there's need and some war occurs, which generally before Caesar's time was accustomed to occur annually, with the result that either they themselves were inflicting outrages or they were driving away outrages inflicted, all are practiced in war, and of these men, as each is most abundant in birth and resources, thus he has around himself very many dependents and followers. They understand this single influence and power. Okay, so some things to think about as we are going to discuss this one in class. Druids studied verses. Men of equestrian status practiced war every year. How would the education of the cavalry have affected their worldview? There's a long-standing and important debate between those who think that as humans, we're born the way we are, we're the way we are by nature, versus those who believe we're shaped by the world after we enter it. So, based on what you read right here in Caesar, which side do you think he would have taken? The placement, what stress does he lay on the status of one's birth, character, traits, things like that. And in Caesar's time, the Roman cavalry consisted primarily of hired foreigners, especially Gauls and Germans. Roman citizens served for the most part in the infantry, and Romans of equestrian status served among the officers. So what do these differences imply about the status of Roman citizens in comparison with the debt-ridden plebeians of Gaul? Why might Roman armies have relied on mercenaries for their cavalry? And really, I think political calculations were simple among the Gauls, at least according to Caesar. How did the Gauls reckon how powerful individuals were? Does this help to explain the trial of Argeteryx and the relative power of individual tribes? All right, so that is the end of chapter 15.